Corporation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great...
Gorgeous, George.
Here Pretty Blassie, the maker of...
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
WrestleMania.
You are fucking...
Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Tay.
And we are back, with Royal Rumble 2002. This is January 20th, 2002 in the Atlanta, Georgia, Phillips Arena.
Yep, yep.
Attendance of 16,106, mm-hmm. Buy rate of 67,000, which is, I guess, is okay. I'm not really sure what the standards for buy rates are, mm-hmm. but I'd say 67,000 is pretty good. 670,000, I apologize. 670,000. I mean, the Phillips Arena, I think their capacity around this time kind of changes. I mean, I think you'd probably have more like a concert type of setup, yeah. I guess is what you would say. Mm-hmm. So they could do 21 plus at the time.
Yeah.
And you're sitting about 16. So not too far away from a sold out event.
Yeah, not too far. You know, you got the stage and all that kind of stuff. So take away some seats, give or take. But nevertheless, here we go.
So first match here, we get the Dudley Boys against Spike and Taz. Dudley Boys, of course, are accompanied by the Duchess of Dudleyville herself, Stacy Keibler. And, you know, there's constant mention that she will be, you know, she's there. Of course, Jerry the King Lawler lets us know over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because he popped a few Viagras before the show and he's ready to go.
Yeah, he's all hyped up on the blue pill, sir.
Bubba and Devon go right after Spike and Taz. I think it was Lawler that says it. Their method is isolate and destroy, mm-hmm. which would be actually a really nice t-shirt.
Well, Spike, sorry.
Oh, Spike, yeah.
Same difference.
Definitely. You're looking to they're isolate and Spike. Yeah. Isolate and Spike. Isolate and destroy Spike. Bubba removes Spike's neck brace. Mm-hmm. We get a Dudley Dog for literally a one. So Spike's finishing move is worth
a one.
So we're keeping in character here.
Yeah.
Huge flapjack to Spike. Hot tag to Taz. And we get suplex, 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 suplex. Stacy gets up on the apron. She tries, you know, showing a little bit of that Stacy off. Mm-hmm. Taz is having none of it. He puts her in the Taz mission because in Red Hook, New York, we beat our women. So Devon runs over, knocks Stacy out of the way. And while all this is going on, a Dudley Dog is reversed. Mm-hmm. Then we get Taz mission to Devon by Taz, of course, mm-hmm. for the win. To retain the titles, I gave it a 3.
Yeah. I give it a 3 as well, 2.5. You know, it's pretty clear cut what was going to happen from the beginning of the match. You know, you isolate Spike, you know, beat him down, wear him down. You know, the typical, you know, like you said, Duchess of Dudleyville interference from the manager, how would you say it? They get up on the apron, you know, trying to distract the referee for a second and a half or two. Taz wasn't having it. You know, chokes the living daylight out of her. Devon being Devon bumps Taz into Stacy, which knocks her off the apron, and she's just knocked out. I'm talking about like she got wrecked by freaking JBL or somebody with clothesline from hell.
She's dead.
Rest of the match, like you said, the reverse Dudley Dog really takes out Spike and Bubba. I don't know what he's doing. And Taz puts a Taz mission on Devon, taps him out in literally half a second. And that's how they retain.
Every Dudley Boys and Spike and Taz match we've watched has been exactly the same, pretty much. There's one hardcore one. But besides that, all of them have been the same. It's like a paint by colors type of
beat the hell out of Spike, and then Taz.
Taz comes in for a flurry because we all know Taz is not in the shape to wrestle, so he comes in for a little flurry, and we kind of go from there. It happens every single time. Clockwork at this point. Next here we have William Regal versus Edge. Before this match, Edge has a backstage segment where he says that he has a steel chair. Mm-hmm. He calls William Regal
the devil.
He also calls him Sunshine.
Yep.
And says the devil is about to get burned. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of like what the devil's are kind of always burning, but you know, whatever. It's in Canada, I guess you guys don't know that.
Yep.
Edge goes right after Regal. Regal does get control, however, but Enziguri puts Edge right back in control. Prior to all this going on, before the match, the referee found brass knuckles in Regal's tights. He actually reaches into his tights to take them out. So that's sexual harassment.
Yep.
On television, nonetheless, Edge reverses a double underhook into a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
William Regal, however, gains control with a power bomb. We get a Regal stretch to Edge, and then Edge does the Regal stretch as well. But it's actually not that. I mean, he doesn't really lock it in. It's like the equivalent of The Rock doing the sharpshooter. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Not functional at
all. Edge spears the referee. Regal then retrieves a second pair of brass knuckles. I don't know where he was holding them.
I don't want to imagine where he was holding them.
Unless he had them in his gooch.
That's what they call it in England?
No, they call it in England. It's a British trumpet.
Oh, okay. Your British trumpet is where Regal had those brass knuckles. But the referee, he took his precious time. Prior to the match, you know, he checked steps, boots, drawers, trunks, freaking Jerry Lawler's crown, by God means. And William Regal has another set of brass knuckles.
Yeah, just a little bit of KY jelly, so that thing back up there, and he was just fine.
Yep.
So, yeah, Regal hits him with the brass knucks there, and Regal is your new Intercontinental Champion. I gave this a 3 as well.
Yeah, I give it a 3 as well. Sorry, listeners, we forgot to tell you the part where it was a spirit coming, and then Regal, you know, being Regal, he pulls referee in front, and he takes the blow of the spirit. That's where he gets, you know, the second set of brass knuckles from to get the time off to hit Edge with one of the weakest power of the punches I've ever seen in my life. But Edge is literally consciousness for like 45 seconds. Give time for another referee to get up, come out there. Count the 1, 2, 3, and there's your new Intercontinental Champion.
And like I said, three for me, three for you as well.
Yeah, it's
bad. Next up here we have Trish Stratus against Jazz. This is for the WWF Women's Championship with Jacqueline as a special guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz here has an early advantage, focusing on Stratus' injured hand, which we saw in the previous SmackDown. So injured. Jazz and Jacqueline kind of argue for a little bit. They shove each other back and forth. Stratus goes for a bulldog, but Jazz actually switches that into a roll-up,
mm-hmm.
and then she hits a DDT. After she hits his DDT, Jackie hesitates to count, and then last minute she's 1, 2, and then, of course, Trish is kicked out by then,
right.
And then Jackie goes, it was two. Like, we know, but it would have been 3, you just didn't count.
Right.
After this, Trish Stratus blocks an attack in the corner. She hits another bulldog for the win to retain her women's championship. I'm gonna give it a 2.
Yeah, it was worth it.
I think everything 2. Trish did was fine. I thought Jacqueline was okay. I'm Jazz just really is really boring.
Yeah, she's real boring and stiff. You know what I'm saying? It was a 2, maybe 1.5. Who really cares about this match? It was something to fill the time. WWE did their job right there. So,
that's a nice little popcorn break.
Yeah, nice little popcorn break. Intermission.
Next up, we have Ric Flair versus Vince McMahon in a street fight.
The boss versus Mr. Wu himself.
Flair gets some early advantage going on in the beginning, but afterwards, after he gets a few chops in, this is Vince. This match is primarily just Vince beating the hell out of Ric Flair.
Yeah, in front of his kids, too, man. I love it when they go all out in front of their kids. Like when The Rock, he hit Mick Foley in the head like 27 times. This freaking his kids is in attendance.
Child just sitting there. His wife is watching their dad die.
I love it when they do violence and stuff in front of their kids. You know, telling. I mean, they know it's, you know, to a certain extent not.
They gotta desensitize these kids.
Yeah, you gotta do it.
They gotta make these kids strong. Ric Flair is cracked over the head with one of those keep off the guardrail things.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair is bleeding. Getting trash can shots. Vince McMahon goes over to Ric Flair's family, takes her camera, takes a selfie.
That's what it's called in 2001.
I don't know what they called it then.
Mm-hmm.
Self portrait.
Vince McMahon might have did something, didn't even know.
Oh no! If he knew, he could get some money off of it. Selfie would be freaking, what's that word?
copywritten
stamped. Yeah, we copywritten stamped everything. Yeah, you can be able to do it. Trademark.
Trademark. Yeah, that's the word.
Vincent McMahon gets busted open. He's beat with a pipe. He gets beaten over the head with a pipe. A lead pipe over the head. He's laid out. He's passed out. Flair puts him in the figure four. He awakens.
He wakes up. Might smack him with holy water. I don't think he just comes to.
He rises. And I rise up. Yeah, it's what he does.
At the top of his lungs. He's looking around. And
he succumbs to his injuries and taps out. So what'd you get for this match?
Well, you put it that way. it's worth about a 3, 2.5. I mean, like you said, the match is literally all Vince. Vince and Flair doing anything but a couple Flair chops.
But would this match have been good if Flair would have carried it?
I mean, when was the last time you see Ric Flair carry a match? I don't think we was alive. You see Ric Flair carry a match.
Last time Ric Flair carried anything, it was his plane crashing into the ground.
Well, no, it wouldn't have been the same. Probably been a 1. I gave it a 3, 2.5. Like you said, it was most predominantly. Mr. Man, you know, he's smacking him around, steel steps here, chair shot here, keep off, sign here. It's freaking blood all over the place in front of his kids. And Ric Flair, he bit him. He bit him. Like, they went back around the second time when Rick was in control of the match. They go over to his daughter or wherever it was, cousin, whatever. He bites Vince McMahon in the head.
Was Vince bleeding?
Yes.
That's hepatitis. That's how you get hepatitis. That's how you get AIDS.
That's why Charlotte looks like that.
Oh, shoot. I didn't even know.
But, yeah.
I feel bad for it now.
It was about a 3. It was the most hardcore, un-hardcore match you could get. Like, the moves was not there. I was like a couple nut shots here and there, clothesline. Slap, 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 mega suplex, the figure four, nut shot, slap, slap, woo, nut shot, try, slap, yeah. Woo, woo.
Pipe, trash can, pipe, yeah. Keep off guard.
It was the most.
Camera, nut shot.
One of the most boring hardcore matches or street fights I've seen in a while. So, yeah, I give it a 2, 3.
Next, we have for the WWF Undisputed Championship, we have The Rock and Chris Jericho.
Ayatollah Rock and Roller.
Jericho tells The Rock to just bring it in the beginning. Rock goes wild on Jericho, does his, you know, his he lays in his signature rock punches, for better or for worse here. Jericho hits a running forearm. Jericho controls the pace. He does his bulldog lion salt combo for 2. Just when The Rock is on the upper hand, Christian comes out and interferes, and The Rock tosses Christian out, and then he also throws over Lance Storm as well. Rock is hit with a rock bottom. And as Jericho goes for the people's elbow, Rock sends him out. Jericho is looking to put The Rock through the announce table. The Rock reverses it and puts him through the announce table with a rock bottom. Mm-hmm. We have a normal ref bump. Nick Patrick comes down. He won't count the pin for The Rock. Why? Because, he's a bad referee. Rock bottom to Nick Patrick. Well deserved. A low blow, and then The Rock is thrown into an exposed second, a turnbuckle, and then Jericho puts his feet on the second rope, while Earl Hebner, I guess, just doesn't see what's happening.
Right.
I'm assuming he just doesn't see. And that leads to Jericho retaining his championship in a match I gave 3 bells.
Yeah, I gave it 3. The match would have had a 4. From me, if it wasn't just for, I feel like the ending was kind of like thrown together last minute. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was just one of those, what I do now. Like, I'm pretty sure Nick wasn't supposed to count for The Rock, but I mean, Jericho's an asshole as well. So it kind of, you know, like, But yeah, the ending was kind of just like thrown together to me. That's why I give it a 3, 3.5. I mean, it wasn't a bad match. Don't get me wrong. It was, you know, rock bottom. Jericho hits Rock with rock bottom. Walls of Jericho. We had Jericho attempt the people's elbow. The Rock does it the right way, gets the crowd into it. You think he has a little bit of momentum, and then the ending happens. Like, what the hell? So he loses to an exposed turnbuckle versus the, you know, Walls of Jericho or a lion salt, which Jericho did twice, and he kicked out. But nevertheless, I give it 3.
I feel like despite the announce table moment and the interference moment, I feel like it never got out of second gear. Like, it never kicked into, like, where the crowd's, like, on their feet and you just really don't know who's going to win. Because the pacing of it just wasn't.
Maybe it could have been time. I mean, you still got, like you said, an hour.
Yeah, an hour and a half rumble. Match.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just the ending was crappy to me. But it wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a bad match at all.
Next, we have our main event here, the 30-man Royal Rumble. Rikishi is out at number one. Goldust is out at number two. Goldust, considering, he's looking pretty good. Like, he's moving around the ring well, and despite him being as weird as he is, he is moving around. Big Boss Man is buzzed out of his mind, coming out number three. Rikishi sandwiches Boss Man in Goldust in the corner, then our boy Bradshaw's out.
Yep.
And he's stiffing everybody, left and right. Sting face the Boss Man. Rikishi eliminates Boss Man. Lance Storm is at number five. Goldust tries to do a hot shot with him, but that's botched pretty bad. He just misses the ropes. Like, that's the purpose of the hot shots, to hit the ropes. It's whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
One job.
Al Snow comes at number six. Big clothesline to hell, from hell to Lance Storm. Billy is out number seven. A super kick by Al Snow to Lance Storm sends him out. Bradshaw is getting eliminated by Goldust. And then Taker is out at number eight. He chokeslams Goldust out of the ring. And then he clears house. And after he clears house, who comes out next? Matt Hardy at number nine. Mm-hmm. Lita comes in, kicks Undertaker in the nuts. Mm-hmm. We get a twist of fate to the Undertaker, but he doesn't sell it like a twist of fate. He does like a swinging neck breaker, so it looks kind of... I mean, it looks fine, but...
Yeah.
Considering what you're going for. Jeff comes out at number 10. Team Extreme beats down Taker temporarily. Swanton bomb by Jeff Hardy here. Now, this is where things get interesting. Jeff goes for the poetry in motion. He gets caught and thrown out. Matt Hardy gets hit with the last ride, and he gets thrown out as well. And then we get Maven. Maven comes in at number 11, and this is like a big pop. Tough Enough season one just ended.
Yeah, this is no ordinary Maven. He's high off Tough Enough right now.
And in 10 years from then, he's high off other things too. Dropkick Taker out of the ring with the distraction from Hardy, which is, he really does get a big pop from that.
Yeah.
But Maven ends up getting murdered by the Undertaker. Like, he cracks him over the, he killed him. He turned him into a vegetable.
Yeah, he did.
They drag him to the concession stands, puts his head through a popcorn machine, eats the bloodied popcorn while drunk bystanders pour beer on Maven's face.
Step on his lifeless carcass.
I mean, that's what you got to do. That's what winning Tough Enough gets you.
That's the last time we see Maven.
Yeah, pretty much. Sky Tuati's out at number 12 here. Christian out at number 13. DDP 14. We get a diamond cutter to Christian. Worm from Sky Tuati to Christian, but he... is getting eliminated by DDP. Chuck comes out at number 15. Godfather 16. Godfather's entrance is longer than his time spent in the match. Albert out at number 17. Albert's eliminated by Chuck Palumbo and Christian here. Mm-hmm. Ho Train's missed, and then he's eliminated by Christian and Chuck Palumbo as well. Perry Saturn is number 18. Stone Cold Steve Austin number 19. Stone Cold clears house once again. And multiple times, after he stuns them and throws them out, he brings them back in the ring, stuns them, and throws them back out again. Mm-hmm. And he does the classic Stone Cold where he looks at his wrist tape and checks the time to see who's coming out next. Keep in mind, as the announcers will remind you over and over again, The Undertaker is the only person to win the Royal Rumble three times. Not The Undertaker, I apologize. Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Undertaker's dead.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, like I say, eliminates all of them, stuns them, throws them back in. Then we get Hello, ladies. Val Venus is number 20. Tess is 21. Once again, Austin clears house, eliminating those guys. And now we get
the game.
Of course, he comes in Jordan's number 23.
Entrance is longer. Well, no. Triple H had a good lengthy run here.
But man, he had a lengthy entrance too.
Yeah, he did.
You would think that he didn't come back just that previous SmackDown to wrestle. All right. Hurricane comes out at number 24. He gets eliminated by both Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H.
Hurricane thought he was Kane, Big Show, Undertaker. You know,
try chokeslam both of them.
Chokeslam, and they look at him like he's high off, you know, hurricane pills or whatever he does on his spare time. And
bath salt and Adderall.
tossing them out like last week's lunch.
Farouk is at number 25, big spine buster to both Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nice to see them actually like sell for him. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Stunner and clothesline out, however, to Farouk. Mr. Perfect out at number 26. My big note for his entire run in this match is while he's being close to being thrown out of the ring, he spits his gum up in the air and smacks it out of the ring, which I really appreciate. It made me happy. Kurt Angle is out at number 27. And we get Chance saying, "You suck," and then everybody goes, "What?" So it's, "You suck what, Chance?"
"You suck what?"
Which was good. I mean, inventive.
Very. I mean, suck what you want, but, you know, to each his own.
I guess so. I mean, I ain't sucking nothing. Big Show's number 28. Big Show knocks everyone down. Kane comes out at number 29. Kane eliminates the Big Show, and then Kurt eliminates Kane. We're building to WrestleMania with these little eliminations. Rob Van Dam comes out at number 29. And once again, Rob Van Dam. Also, Robert, congratulations on your wedding today.
Yep.
Frog splash to Kurt Angle, which was all the way across the ring.
Yeah.
Stone Cold gets hit with a Rolling Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But then a pedigree to Van Dam, because, of course, who needs to get over the most? Triple H. Booker T comes out at number 30.
Bastard.
And he eliminates Rob Van Dam right away.
Bastard.
Then he does the spin-a-rooney, gets stunned, and then he gets thrown out. Austin gets thrown out, but then he attacks everyone, and he beats the hell out of Mr. Perfect.
Right.
Mr. Perfect gets thrown out, and now we're just down to Kurt Angle and Triple H.
The man with a broken neck and the man with a torn quad.
Ooh, they go back and forth a little bit. Kurt Angle throws Triple H over the top rope. He thinks he's won it. He's celebrating even though his music's not playing. Right. And the bell didn't ring.
And the crowd's having to turn around.
Yeah. So he gets hit with the
spine buster. Like with a knee.
Spine buster, knee lift. And he's like stumbling around. And then Triple H clotheslines him out for the win. I gave this match 4 bells.
Yeah, I give it a 4. It wasn't the best. Like I said, the ending to me, once again, you get stunners. You get the what happened to Booker T? Booker T didn't hit a book in or a scissors kick. He on like where the hell is everybody's finisher move? Triple H is his pedigree on RVD. Throws my guy out, bastard. Freaking Kurt Angle, he didn't get an ankle lock in or an ankle slam.
Nope.
He gets thrown out, bastard.
And I mean, and think about the fact that
Undertaker hit his
Booker
last
T ride has been in every main event pretty much for the past few weeks of programming, and he's in the Rumble for
30, comes out 30. Last. Comes out last at that.
The coveted 30 spot. And gets disrespected.
Is it coveted?
Not now.
But it's like, about 27, 28?
27 is the lucky number?
Yeah. But like you said, still, he comes out last. The freshest MF-er out of the whole arena.
And how do they treat him?
Like last week's garbage. That's how it was. He got thrown out.
And it's garbage.
Not a booking, not a scissor kick, not a Houston hangover, not nothing.
Not a high spin, five.
A spin-a-rooney and a toss out.
You know what Vince was thinking?
Now Venus lasted longer than Booker T. Let that sink in. Maven lasted longer than Booker T. Maven eliminated. Maven had a better 2000 World Rumble than Booker T. Let that sink in.
I think it's solid, folks. Booker T got buried tonight.
Yeah, he did. By Triple H. Once again, the bastard. Torn quad.
I'm be honest with you.
Kurt Angle had a broken neck. There's nothing wrong with Booker T. He's perfectly fine. Health of an apple. He gets thrown out.
Health of an apple. I don't think Triple H even touched Booker T, though. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think he touched it. I mean, I'm with you, though. Triple H is behind it all.
Yeah.
And the longer we do this podcast, actually, in the span of 2 years, we will be at the Mania where Booker T is officially buried. Of course, it won't take us 2 years to get there. We'll get there shorter than that, but I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Let us get into the awards.
Less.
Sir, who was your star of the night?
Oh, yeah. It was a lengthy Rumble. As always, Rumbles are lengthy.
Mm.
It was a good card. Top to bottom, wasn't too bad. Wasn't too great. It was an okay card to be 2001. My star of the night goes to one of my favorites, Chris Jericho. He retained. He did what he had to do. It wasn't the best match, but it was a good one, you know. Nance table got shattered by Rock Bottom. He hit 2 line salts. Father Jericho, Rock Bottom, trying to perform Pip's elbow. Didn't work out. Rock kicks up. It was a good match. I give it to Jericho. He retained. Did his job.
I'm going to have to go with start of the night.
What'd you say, Maven? I mean,
I was thinking it. I'm going with Stone Cold, and here's the reason why. Stone Cold, he comes in at number, I think he came in at like number 19.
Yeah.
So between number 13 and when Stone Cold comes in at 19, it's a drag.
Yeah.
We're looking at Albert and DDP. No one cares about that.
Yeah.
But Stone Cold picks it up, and he makes it entertaining towards the end with the, comes back in with the chair shots after he gets eliminated, and he's checking his wrist tape to see who's coming out next.
It's Dame time.
Stunning him, throwing him out, bringing him back in. He's putting the work in, and we appreciate the work. We appreciate it. So I give Stone Cold my star of the night. Who's the Charlotte of the night?
Charlotte of the night, I would say Jazz. Jazz.
I'm going to give mine to... I'm going to give mine to the Big Show. Because I just don't like him.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't remember him. No, Boss Man. No, Boss Man gets it. Yeah, Boss Man. Because I can remember not liking what I saw. So.
Yeah.
Match of the night.
I will say the Rumble.
I'm going to have to go with the Rumble as well, yeah. Worst match tonight. I think we'll both probably agree on this as well.
Jazz and Trish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's just how it has to be right now.
Yep.
Spot of the night. There were some good spots tonight.
I like Van Damme's coming in to the Frog Splash. That's pretty dope. I like Jericho's double line assault, even though, you know, they weren't worth a damn.
Never are they ever worth a damn.
Yeah. Ric Flair got literally killed. Maven got... chair shot to hell too. Good lord.
My spot will be the chair shot to the head for Maven.
We'll agree with Maven. He's look pretty vicious.
Man's not hot enough. That was rough. Botch of the night. My botch of the night is the beginning of the Trish and Jazz match. She couldn't get her jacket off.
Did she? Oh yeah.
And her arms were stuck. And she's like feeding in her head to get hit, and she can't do anything. That's the closest thing to a botch I really saw, besides just like the booking of the end of the Jericho match,
and
whoever booked Ric Flair versus Vince McMahon.
Vince booked that one.
There are people out there that really like really really enjoy it. Like it's one of their classics. I mean, to each their own, of course. But just how, you know? That's my question. Is just how.
Mm-hmm.
It's no Mick Foley and Edge.
Got two old wrinkly men going at it just to go out there and literally kill each other.
And one of them looks like he's in shape, and the other one's a wrestler.
Yeah.
So put that in perspective. Well, that's our botches. Those are our... No, remember, weekly shows are 500 for front row.
Mm-hmm.
These are a grand. Pay a grand for front row here?
Pay-per-view, grand in 2002, 2001, yeah.
I'm willing to put the grand down to be front row, for the Flair match to the main event.
Because we
get a lot of ringside with the Flair match. We actually watch your actual match with The Rock and Jericho, and then of course the Rumble. You're just seeing everybody out there.
Yeah,
I care less it's about the first three matches on the card, honestly.
Yeah, it's worth it.
What's your final grade for Royal Rumble 2002?
A bunch of twos, bunch of threes, 1, 4.5. Divide it up, chop it up, slice it, dice it. I give it a 3.
I'm rocking with a 3, too. I think it was very much
just an average.
Average, game. Yeah, pretty average. I think the No Way Out, which will be, of course, we have a whole month of February's weekly shows. Mm-hmm. But I think when we get to No Way Out really picks it up. It's when the NWO returns. So we get Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, and our boy Hulk Hogan, who's madly racist.
Yeah.
But this is the No Disqualification Podcast. Of course, make sure you follow us on Twitter, pod_DQ. Instagram, No Disqualification Podcast. Twitter, once again, pod_DQ. TikTok, No Disqualification Podcast. Instagram, No Disqualification Podcast. Facebook, No Disqualification Podcast. And you can also join our group there. Make sure to Apple Podcast and leave us a 5-star because we always leave you 5 bells. remember, this is just a few man operation here. It's just a few of us doing this. So mm-hmm. we appreciate the support. Any ways you help us, we like to put that into improving the podcast. Mm-hmm. Some of you have sent in requests for special reviews. We like to do those, but we have to set up a Patreon for that.
Right.
Or we'll just have to wait until we get to that time period. Someone was like, you should review an episode of Ride Along. No. I'm sorry. We can't do that. Right. Ride Along is just two people sitting in the car talking. Like, what is there to review? I mean, we can watch it, but, like, we're not going to do anything. Or someone asked us to watch Swerved, or, like, the prank show. What are we going to do?
Good God. Folks, this is a wrestling, wrestling
podcast. The prank show is faker than the actual wrestling.
Give us good wrestling stuff that we don't watch.
I mean, you want us to watch Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair in the cell in 78?
I'd rather not. But I mean,
but if you send it to us, it would make a little bit more sense. You know what I'm saying? Help us help you.
Right.
All
right.
But like I said, this has been the No Disqualification Podcast. Make sure you share this with your friends and your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Wishing a quick recovery to Danhausen. So I'm at the NGW show.
Mm-hmm.
He's very nice. He's very evil. Also, Mance Warner. Hope you get better as well. I saw Mance Warner break his leg. I also saw Danhausen break his leg. This has been the No Disqualification Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Tay. Cam's back, baby.